welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Thank you so much for tuning in as always. Today we spoke about that Drake scam, where traffic is going to get a little bit better in Dubai, and also we had a great interview about how to actually stay healthy during Ramadan.
This is an episode you do not want to miss. So subscribe to the Love in Dubai show podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And as always, don't forget to enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Unfortunately, our top story for you today is about that fake Drake ticket scam that went viral.
As well, you guys, he called it, sadly, a social experiment. Now, traffic time in some areas will be reduced.
We have all of the information on Gaza fundraisers happening across the city that deserve your attention this Ramadan.
As well, we have a guest that's going to help us all, or going to give us, a lot of tips on how to keep a balanced diet during Ramadan with the one and the only nutritionist, Rola Ghaddar.
So if you have questions for Rola, get them in now. We see your comments coming through. Hey, Jonah, good morning. Good morning, Shoria. If you have questions for tips for staying healthy throughout the holy month, please get them in now and we'll get them to roll out later on in the show. It is day 167 since the genocide began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has risen to 31,923, while 74,096 have been injured and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes.
Now, regarding Dubai Iftar timings, today Dubai Iftar time is 6:34 p.m. You can find, of course, the up-to-date prayer timings on Love in Dubai website.
And current temperatures in Dubai sit at 22 degrees. If you want a weather update, go on to NCM, which is the National Meteorology and Seismology report for the UAE weather, and there where you will get your up-to-date information. If you want to chase some rain, we know it's coming later on in the week, but also Storm, the weatherman, who we had on the show not too long ago, is your place to go and get rain information.
So, I want to talk to you about something which has been honestly occupying my mind. As you know, we are living in the digital era. Social media is controlling all of our lives. As I said, it is controlling all of our lives to the point where it can affect us emotionally and mentally. And people often forget that if I see, let's say, a profile on Instagram, I can forget that this profile is choosing to show us what they want to show us, you know, but we tend to forget that this is not real. This is all virtual. This is all, I would say, a scam, just like our story. That would be very soon.
Such a good point. Yeah. Such a good thing. We're talking about Drake scam. So it's like, yes, everything you see is a scam. No, but it's the highlight reel.
Yes,
and
it is.
You can't blame people for only showing the highlight reel, i.e. Kate Middleton photoshopping. You can't blame people because why would you go on to spread negativity? People who try and be real, they still only share a snapshot of their lives. But I think what we're trying to get to is that it shows us an unobtainable image of people's lifestyles and therefore makes you feel less good about yourself. I am 100% a victim of that. Mm-hmm. I look at people that you might aspire to be and think, why am I not doing that? I'm doing this, they're doing this, and therefore it makes you feel smaller.
That's true.
Why social media is a pain, and I feel like I'm probably not the only one who feels that way.
It is, because it is, by the way, it is hidden negativity as much as it can be a positivity, and there are a lot of positives to social media and the technology and the digital era that we are in right now. It can literally bite you. I'm not even joking. I mean, I have a friend who is depressed because of it. And I tell her, I'm like, listen, it's not, you see what people choose to show you. You don't see, because again, like as you said, you know, you're not gonna be posting about problems in your life. You're not gonna be posting about, not having this, not having that. You're gonna show you have this and you have that. And we are as well, our own worst enemies. We oftentimes we do forget that we are human, and we go like, oh my god, yeah, but she has that or he has that, and why don't I have that, and we tend to focus on what the negatives of our own lives, which, by the way, like, social media can be toxic sometimes as well, you know, as well with like The body image issues and so on. We tend to forget that, you know, we are human, we are real.
So and cut ourselves some slack.
Yes.
Someone actually said this week, and I thought it was really interesting, that anxiety and depression is the disease of our lifetime.
Yes.
And I think it's massively attributed to social media. I feel so lucky to be in my 30s because when I was going through secondary school, high school, it wasn't as much of a focus. We had something called Bebo.
Okay.
Does anyone know Bebo? It was like the OG Facebook. Anyone? Bebo users out there? It was like, we didn't even have MySpace.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But less of a focus on social media. And I think that I was lucky to have skipped that. If you had advice for a 13-year-old now who's asking, let's say, for example, parents, you have 13-year-olds, they want to be on TikTok, they want to be on Instagram, what do you tell them?
I mean, I can't give advice because when I was growing up, of course, you know, that was when social media was introduced, Instagram was introduced. And then, like, there was, like, this trend of, like, oh, a thigh gap, right? And then Kim Kardashian came, it's like, oh, the BBL, or all of these things. And which, by the way, I was a victim of that, you know, eventually. And it's like, it was crazy. And then there was Tumblr as well. And with all of these things that were happening, if I would give any advice, is stay off social media as much as you can.
Yeah.
You know, because I promise you, Casey, if I was a victim when it began, I cannot imagine how it is like for children in this time and era, where, like, literally at this point, likes define them, posts define them. And even, I don't know, for example, like Charli D'Amelio, she is like the TikTok it girl, right? And after that, you know, her career skyrocketed after the dance that she has created through COVID. And she had a show, and her and her sister would literally cry on the show, saying things like, I don't feel like I'm treated like human. Which is true at this point, right? And it's like everyone started trying to become TikTok famous and so on. And it's like, you guys need to just, like, calm down and make it easy on yourselves. It's not easy, of course. And social media is not a place that we should trust ourselves with and trust other people in.
Although, of course, our livelihoods rely on us, so please do not delete it. Jumping into our top story, a scam that went viral yesterday.
Of course. So if you guys haven't heard, but Overtour Dubai reveals itself as a scam after fake Drake tickets and calls it a social experiment. Now, social media can be deceiving, as we've mentioned. Now, this Instagram account under the name of Overtour Dubai has gone viral for claiming to sell Drake concert tickets. Wow. Now, saying that a concert was being held on the 3rd of May, but it turned out to be a scam, as Drake's Overtour Dubai revealed itself to be a scam and weirdly a social experiment.
The account posed as a platform that was selling tickets for a suggested Drake concert, which is not happening. It even set up a fake website with fake event information, which gave people the chance to purchase early bird tickets. And people fell for this. People paid for those early bird tickets. The account did everything they could to ease suspicion from the page. They started deleting comments when people started calling it a scam as well, which obviously led to questions regarding the veracity of the site.
Of course, and later on, they had posted a series of stories exposing themselves as a scam that is planning to refund everyone who bought tickets. They even stated that the entire setup was a social experiment, and the account then ended the stories series, claiming that the man behind the scheme has fled the country.
Look, this is not okay. This is highly illegal. He's fled the country. I think he went on an Instagram Live last night. You cannot take money from people for an unregistered event. Only ever get your tickets from legitimate sources. Something similar actually happened last week. There was another scam that popped up trying to entice people to buy tickets to Weeknd's concert. Didn't happen. So people have jumped on saying that they're victims. So they jumped on to say that they were aware of this, and that's why they were skeptical from the beginning.
Now, of course, authorities issued a warning about fake social media advertisements selling event tickets at at seemingly too good to be true prices in this day and age. It is, of course, important to be vigilant on the internet as well. Dubai Tourism has reached out and just confirmed that it is actually indeed a scam, you guys.
This is so frustrating because at the same time last week, Drake posted a photo yeah. with something related to the UAE consulate in Houston. So people had a question, oh, maybe he's coming. But the clear message here is it, you need to get tickets, information from legitimate sources and vendors. If it's an Instagram page with three photos, make sure, for example, like, are they going to the big arenas? Like, this is Drake, ask the right questions.
Yes.
People paid for these tickets. This is illegal.
Yeah.
The person has fled the country. They said that the money is going to be returned. I really hope that it is and that it was a social experiment, yeah. but I'm dubious of that.
But then, what's a social experiment? What did they want to prove? You know what I mean? It's like, fine, if it's a social experiment, what did you want to prove? From this, what did this you get
a,
out of this?
This is a pure scam. This it's, is like this is not okay. Like
no.
it's a social experiment taking mm-hmm. money from people who are excited about a concert doesn't
no.
fly.
No, I mean I do understand why the people were very vulnerable to that because like I'm just like imagining of course like, I love Drake, you know, probably if I saw the account I would have probably like. You know, taken the link, sent it to my friends, and my friends, maybe my friends and I would have been victims of that. Hopefully not. But
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like that is how deceiving social media is.
Mm-hmm.
It is very deceiving. And people behind those accounts, we don't know them. And they just know what triggers the person behind the screen, right? Because like you don't see anything, you just see the account. And of course, the account, as you said, had like three photos and they kept on deleting like all of these things. So I think maybe we should have been like maybe, or it, there should be more awareness to that. And as well, in line of like the recent news of UAE closing down 160,000 social media accounts, I think this should be closed. But I highly doubt that they're going to give back the money because they fled the country. I really hope they do, but...
Someone is saying on yeah. the comments that the money will be fully returned. We hope it will be.
Yes.
We hope it
we
will
really
be.
Do. Yeah.
But the way it was taken was not a legitimate way to take money from people when there was no concert in place. Selling something that's not happening is not
it. It is not it, 100%. So you guys, now let's jump to our next story. Traffic time in some areas will be reduced. Yes, you guys, the RTA, Roads and Authority, Transport Authority in Dubai has introduced several projects to enhance traffic in Hatta, Oud Al-Muthena 1 and Al-Safouh 1 areas. Now these projects focus on making the roads more efficient, reducing congestion and enhancing safety for everyone using the roads.
The RTA finished building the Hatta Souk roundabout during the Dubai Hatta Road, along the Dubai Hatta Road, resulting in a 60% decrease in travel time, which is amazing. Additionally, a new U-turn has been constructed near Wadi Hub on the same road in the Oud Al-Matina 1 area. Traffic improvements involved widening Street 31 from one lane to two lanes in both directions, and that's near the Emirates Cooperative Society, and adding side parking spaces for shoppers. These enhancements have doubled the street's capacity from 1,200 to 2,400 vehicles per hour.
Now, regarding Al-Safouh area, a parking facility has been built in Al-Safouh 1 with approximately 112 spaces alongside a roundabout designed to improve traffic flow around Shuifat School on Hassa Street. This setup has optimized the drop-off and pick-up process for students, ensuring the adherence to the highest traffic safety standards. Hussein Al-Banna, CEO of the RTA Traffic and Roads Agency, stated, "The identification of roads requiring improvement is based on four main factors: traffic studies, traffic control areas, public feedback, and field observations by RTA teams." He further emphasized the agency's focus on identifying necessary traffic solutions to manage congestion and implementing them effectively.
That was my old traffic spot.
Same.
Shuifat School. So they've just fixed it.
So you must have struggled a lot.
Yeah.
You should maybe go back there. Maybe you should go back.
Fabulous. The teachers are just going to be so excited about
yes.
this. And the parents. Although I was on a school bus.
Yeah.
We got there early. Mm-hmm. And then I was a KG teacher, so we left a little bit early. So we didn't actually really get stuck. But I know for any school, mm-hmm. traffic congestion at travel times is frustrating. So this is going to be great news for Shuifat school goers.
100%. I mean, as well.
What did you... Okay.
Well, as well, by the way, not only that, I remember when I used to go to work, my work used to be in Media City.
So same traffic.
Every day, literally. And I would get back home and my home, I had to go through the Shuifat school to reach my home because I have to go to through the Hassa Street and get to Tikom. That's where I used to live. But, oh my God, the traffic was insane. And it was, I would be like so like, angry, like, you know, like, I'm tired, I want to get back home. And the traffic was insane, maybe...
I want to ask, actually, so at the beginning of Ramadan, getting home was really challenging in the first couple of days. Has that gotten better?
Yes, it has. And I've noticed that. At the beginning, I thought, you know, I'm like, I was gaslighting myself. I was like, Farah, maybe it's just a coincidence. It would take me 2 hours to get home. Okay, I'm not even joking. You know, for like a 40-minute ride, it would take me 2 hours from how crazy the traffic would be. But, of course, when it started to get better, I was like, Farah, don't be crazy. It's just a coincidence. And then it happened, like, I would say several times. And I'd be like, something cooked here. Something's happening. What is happening? But yeah, it is actually getting better.
I think it was just a big mix of flood water still hadn't drained in Sharjah, so leading to traffic on that side of the city, and then a couple of bumps because, as you know, I fasted yesterday.
Yes.
And I couldn't decide whether or not I would drive to iftar.
Okay.
Or I would get a taxi, and I decided because I had a couple of errands to run, I decided to drive.
Okay.
My brain function at that hour of the day after fasting all day was not working. Like,
the brain is not breathing.
It is so impressive that everyone who fasts comes to work every day and gets a full day's work done. I really struggled. And my mom was in the car beside me and I was so grumpy and she was talking. And I was like, I physically cannot concentrate on two things at once. And whenever one thing caught my attention, I noticed I could only give my attention to one thing. You know the way our brains work, we're able to maybe have a conversation and drive at the same time, for example.
Yeah.
When I started zoning into what my mom was saying, I'd forget where I was going on the roads.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do two things.
Yes.
My brain was just broken.
It is, by the way, a thing because like when you know like how my mom, when I was like younger and I would not finish my food and I would not eat, she would describe it to me as like, Farah, the car does not drive without fuel. And that's how the brain works.
Smart mama.
Your brain will not work and you cannot think if you don't feed it proper nutritious food. Because I used to like wake up every morning and the only thing I would eat is Nutella. Literally.
Delicious.
I mean,
a fabulous morning.
Yes, but I would not eat anything. Like if my mom would make for me like a proper nutritious breakfast.
Not for you.
No, I would throw a tantrum and I'd be like, I want my Nutella sandwich right now. And even like when I would travel.
What age were you?
I was really young. I was like in KG2 and even like grade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it was like my breakfast. My breakfast was a Nutella sandwich.
You know what's so...
Just a scientific quotation that the body needs 70% water.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. The body needs 70% water. I was just going to...
You have 20% food.
Yeah. Interesting. That is true.
I love that Nutella sandwich because, you know, when we grew up as kids, like, obviously our palates have changed.
Yes.
But what was that one kid's meal that you would have? That's kind of really weird now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were a kid, that was like it.
Nutella
sandwiches.
You know, because, like, I used to adore Nutella, Casey. I'm not even joking. Like, I used to be like crazy, and to the point where, like, whenever I would like go to my friend's house for a sleepover or something like that, I was like young, and her mother would call my mom and be like, "Your daughter is eating a lot of Nutella. Is that even normal?" And it's not normal because it's not healthy, of course. For like
any other kids' Nutella obsession, Masa Hisham, any what was your like kids' meal? Something delicious or just something weird? Peanut butter and jelly. Oh, that's now.
But that's healthy.
So good. But it doesn't matter if it's healthy. It's like, it was. So for example, like, you know, I would go to a restaurant and, you know, there might be something there. And I'm like, I'm only having this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, kids, I'm only having chicken tenders. Like, when I went to a chipper, I would only have a chicken burger with, plain chicken burger with tomato ketchup. That's all I would have. And for when I was in primary school, my lunch every day was microwaved apple and cheese.
Ooh, microwaved apple.
Yeah, weird one. But, like, every day I'd come home and that would be it. And I'd be like,
that is so cool. What was, like,
just a strange
one. Yeah, what was, like, your favorite, I would say, breakfast as a kid? Like, what would, like, because, you know, like, as kids, you wake up and you think breakfast is not important, so you don't have it. You think you don't need to have it. But what was, like, your breakfast?
I love how our show always goes to food. Sorry, I'm
exhausting. Yes, maybe because I'm hungry.
Did you have Cheetos?
Oh, yes.
No, no, not Cheetos. Wheatos. The chocolate ones. Wheatos. They're just a great cereal. They're like Cheerios, but they're thicker and they're chocolate-based.
Okay.
So the milk would go chocolatey. And we wouldn't always have them, but when you did, when they're at home. Because cereal was worse. You know, there was like the fancy cereal. It wasn't like Rice Krispies. Yeah. And Kellogg's Crunchy Nut.
I mean, I don't think we had that because I was like 1 year in Dubai. But one thing that's actually hilarious is that my mom would try to change my breakfast by getting me chocolate cereals, and she would like, she'd be like, Farah, look, this is chocolate. It's made out of Nutella. You can eat it. And I'd be like, I don't believe you, but okay. But then she would think like, I will drink the milk because it's gonna get chocolatey after having the chocolate cereal inside. But I would not drink it.
Do you?
Oh yes,
cornflakes.
Yeah.
So cornflakes was always there. But then our Wheatos, they were like a little bit more, so they were the fancy cereals. So when that was there, that was a treat. Do you still have a Nutella obsession?
I don't eat it. Mm. I don't know what happened, but I just don't eat it. I used to have like a chocolate obsession. I remember like when I was like younger, after every meal, literally every, like after dinner, I need to have like minimum 2 Kit Kats. On spot, I need 2 Kit Kats or even 2 Galaxies or anything chocolate. I was crazy.
Sometimes when you tell stories, you sound like a child diva. Yeah. I was one too, because you know, I need this. Mom, where's my chance?
Literally, I was a child diva. I was like, it's like, I need this right now. I don't want it right now. I remember calling my mom, seeing the Nutella ad on screen on NBC3. I'm like, Mom, she's a pharmacist. So she was in the pharmacy. And I'm like, Mom, there is this thing called Nutella. Please get it for me. And she was like, okay. And then she literally came back and she got me Nutella. And I remember thinking, oh my God, my mom is a hero. She got the Nutella that was on TV. That was all that was going
through
my head.
And that was the end of it. That was the slippery slope down to the Nutella drain.
Yes.
So interesting. Okay, guys, we totally digressed there. But it's 8:53. We want to take you to our next story. There are incredible Gaza fundraisers that deserve your attention throughout the holy month of Ramadan. So today, for example, some of the Love in Dubai team will be out joining Fadi Musalat, part of the Giving Family, which has become a staple in the Dubai community throughout the holy month of Ramadan. This is where people come together to volunteer, lend a helping hand, and basically help to pack and distribute meals to the less fortunate.
But of course, there are so many other ways you can give back this season, starting with Beauty for Peace, which is a pop-up for Palestine sponsored by Huda Beauty, happening today. Hair, shopping, tanning, nails, or even just grabbing a bite to eat. Now, this pop-up has got several lovely services from some of the best businesses in town happening at The Collective today. As well, this is your ultimate win-win situation.
And there are so many other great initiatives and great ways to give back, whether it's your money, your time. We have an article on Love in Dubai, so we'll just run through them quickly. For example, Terry Kane, he is running 6 marathons in 5 days for children in Gaza. 6 marathons, 5 days. That's fair play, beautiful. Terry. This is amazing. So on April 12th, he'll start the world's toughest foot race. Have you guys heard of it? The Marathon de Sable, which is running through the Sahara Desert, and he's doing it to raise funds. So you can support him with a donation, and that's linked on our website. Also, in there are many other ways. Head on to Careem. There's a lot of ways to donate and click and donate. And the same with Talabat has that feature as well. So lots of ways where you can donate your time. And then also, like, we had Draw a Smile on the show.
Yes,
we had Dubai Goodwill.
That's true. I mean, it's just like it amazes me how much a lot of people are actually putting effort and donating. Some of them are donating to the people here in the country. And as well, they are donating to the people of Gaza and the awareness that is raised to what's happening in Gaza. It just makes me so proud because this has been slept on for so long, but people are finally stepping in to help the people in Gaza.
I mean, yes. I feel like people have done it for particularly heightened since October 7th. Mm-hmm. But of course, the holy month of Ramadan, there's a renewed energy.
Yes.
But then, for example, this is for Gaza, but then obviously locally, in terms of, you know, distributing meals and giving back, Dubai Goodwill, as we said. So I would, if I was you, and if you want to get involved, there'll be different locations each day. For example, the Giving Family will have their own location, Dubai Goodwill will have theirs, Draw a Smile will have theirs, and they all operate. It's such a grassroots community startup. Like, there's not like a big fancy website. This is happening with big WhatsApp groups. And every day they'll drop the pin, they'll put it on WhatsApp group, they'll put it on Instagram stories. I don't know where else you'd like to receive information, but that's where they think that's the best way to reach you. And every time we have someone sitting in the seat, we say, what do you need? What do you want from people? Because we know we are sitting in very privileged seats.
Yeah.
And we know a lot of people want to give back. And they just say, volunteer, time or money. Whatever you have,
yes,
we'll take it. Like, anything you have that you can give back, these charities are so ready and able to accept. The article was written by Annika yesterday. It's on our website, 8 ways to give back to the community during Ramadan 2024. And you can get links to each of those specific charities, initiatives, and organizations.
As well, the best thing is the fact that we had the guests that said, you know what, you can donate even if it's like with 1 dirham. Right? This, by the way, stuck in my head because, like, we often go like, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. But to the people in Gaza, what you have is more than enough. So if we give from what we have, which to them is like, oh my God, we are so privileged. Oh my God, the fact that we live in a peaceful country and we have food and we live with our families and they're all alive and healthy and well. That is a privilege itself, you know, and just like even if it's like donating as simple as like 1 dirham, you know, which is nothing, it is something to them, which is amazing.
So true. He said 1 dirham if it's a day, and
yes,
then if everyone does 1 dirham a day for 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, what that could mean for the people that need
yes.
it. Yes. 8:58 on a Wednesday morning, Thursday.
Okay.
Did I scare you with that? Because I scared myself.
No, it's fine. It's almost Friday.
On a Thursday morning, we're going to take a quick break. And next up, we're going to be talking about Ramadan health, nutrition, how to maintain a balanced diet. We're going to be joined by nutritionist Rola Gadar. So do you have questions for Rola? Whether it's, what might my question be? How to actually maintain a balanced diet? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the tips to eat your, should you eat Sahur? How to break your fast healthy, how to not overeat. And that's something I really
yes.
struggled with yesterday, and I certainly...
You did?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Started with a date,
but
then the salad,
yeah.
then the main, then another main, and then the desserts, and more desserts, and some treats.
Yeah, you know, it can go both ways. You can either gain weight or lose weight in Ramadan. I think, if you remember, I said that once. But I'm excited to meet Rola Gadar because... Yeah, I think we all are, by the way, like on the same boat of like, are we eating in a healthy manner during Ramadan?
So let's take a look. She's going to be with us after this very short break, so please stay tuned. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Today's guest is Rola Gadar, who's here to share some valuable tips on maintaining a balanced diet throughout the holy month of Ramadan. As our eating habits often become less structured during this time, Rola is going to give insights on how to stay on track. Welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much because I have a lot of nutrition questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm
for
ready.
Yes. Well, I think we can for sure congest them in... You know, shortly, but of course, a lot of people mm-hmm. struggle with having a balanced diet. True. And some of them think that skipping breakfast or skipping lunch or skipping dinner is healthy for them, mm-hmm. of course. And with Ramadan, what do you think is the perfect or almost perfect, let me say, diet?
So for me, I don't believe there's a perfect diet for mm-hmm. everyone. Yes. I believe there's a diet that works for every one of us, and it has to be something that's personalized and that works for your life. But what I will share is guidelines, okay? And then everyone can see what from these guidelines they can take or they can incorporate into their lives. Because the idea of having something perfect always makes us feel like we're not doing enough, which is not a nice feeling, which is not very motivating. But whenever we focus on taking like one or two steps that are realistic for us, it's going to make us a lot more motivated.
Love that.
So, so first, what I think a lot of people heard already is to like break their fast with dates and water or yogurt, okay? I believe yogurt is a great drink to have during Ramadan because it's high in protein, it's high in probiotics, it will give us energy, it's great for the digestive system. So it's great to incorporate it either when we first break our fast or after iftar, if we're having a snack after, or if we're having a suhoor. And then because we didn't eat all day, our stomach is a bit like tense, so we don't want to start with like giving it a big quantity or giving it things that are hard to digest. So we start with the soup usually because it's soft and creamy and it's easier to digest than other food, and like the heat will ease us into the rest of the meal. And after that, what I personally recommend is to look at everything on the table and then ask yourself, what is it that will give me the most satisfaction right now? Because enjoying our food in Ramadan is also very important. I'm an intuitive eating dietitian, and intuitive eating, we believe that if you're satisfied now, you will eat less later. So the more you enjoy one of like the items or one of the foods that you're having at iftar, the less you will snack, the less you will have cravings after. So that's why it's so important to choose like the thing that you're truly craving and that will give you satisfaction, and then enjoy it, like eat it mindfully, slowly, take breaks, not to like eat super fast, because our stomach needs like 15 minutes to send us messages to our brain. So if we're finishing the whole thing in 15 minutes, then we're not gonna get the messages. Mm-hmm. But if we take it slow, if we take like maybe between like the soup and the starter and then the main dish, like maybe 1 minute or 5 minute break, it will give us space to actually listen to the cues that our body is sending us.
Where were you yesterday? Because I fasted and I went to iftar, and you've answered my next question, which was, how do we not overeat? And you've answered it by saying, you know, start with the soup, eat mindfully, and I did not have any of those tips, and therefore I overate. So, which leads us on to our next question. Where do you stand on skipping suhoor or having a balanced meal at 4 a.m.?
I definitely recommend having suhoor because it's so hard to take all the nourishment in just iftar, because our bodies need like the protein, the vitamins, the minerals. Also, our digestive system needs another meal in order to move. A lot of people deal with discomfort in their digestion during Ramadan, and skipping suhoor is one of the reasons. So I really recommend having something before you sleep. Like, some people don't like to wake up. Even if you don't like to wake up, maybe before you sleep, have a nourishing snack or meal, or just see what works for you, because it can be a smoothie. It can be something that's maybe lighter on the stomach. It can be like yogurts and dates and maybe nuts, and then you can go to sleep. Or it can be a full-on nice breakfast meal. So it depends on what works for every person, but it's definitely recommended not to just have one meal, because this is when you will miss a lot of nutrients and you will also affect the digestive system negatively and maybe the metabolism as well, because we move our metabolism when we have another meal. So I think that's it.
So you recommend not to miss the words.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I can never go on my day without suhoor, of course, although I do crash. But I would like to ask, we fast for like long hours, right? And then when we eat a lot and we feel so full. We even feel bad about ourselves. So how can we avoid that feeling of feeling full and feeling bad about ourselves? Because like it comes hand in hand, like, you know, feeling full and satisfied of like, you know, you're full, but then you as well feel bad.
So I think what you're mentioning is the guilt feeling that we have after the meal is done. And you're like, why did I eat this much? I'm so uncomfortable. I don't have willpower. And then we spiral into negative thoughts about ourselves. What I recommend in this case is curiosity. Okay, so we don't want to be like super harsh with ourselves. We want to understand why this happened. So why wasn't I able to eat mindfully or take my breaks during my meal or connect to my fullness or even to choose the foods that feel good to me? This helps a lot. And maybe like a question that personally helps me a lot is before I choose my meals, I ask myself, how do I want to feel after iftar? You know, because even for me, like I'm a dietitian, I know all of these tips. And then one of the days, I was very hungry and I ate like from five different types of foods, and it was so hard to digest because it was a lot of different things to digest. So I couldn't sleep until 3 a.m. I had reflux. I didn't feel good at all. But how I dealt with it was I was curious, like, why did I eat this much? What was the reason? And I just took note of what doesn't feel good for me. Like eating five items at the same meal is not gonna make me feel good. So after that, I'm like, okay, three things, you know? And it worked.
Interesting.
Because I dealt with it with curiosity and with a gentle approach rather than being so harsh with myself, saying negative things about like my willpower or...
It's tricky though, right? Because you're presented sometimes with a buffet from around the world. Tricky one. Do you have buffet tips for us?
Yeah, I think Ramadan is the most challenging month.
Yes.
Because it's the month where we're exposed to so much food and so much food that maybe we're not exposed to in other months.
Yes.
So we feel the sense of, I can eat this only now. You know, like that's the only time where I can eat this food. So it makes us... It makes connecting to your fullness a lot more challenging. So this is why I really recommend to focus on like satisfaction, like anjad. If we enjoy the food we're having, we're not gonna feel like, no, I have to finish everything. We're gonna be a bit more calm and to remind ourselves, food will be there tomorrow. Food will not run away. I think that's also very important to look at food with abundance and not scarcity. Because it's just psychologically we feel like we just like this is our only opportunity and we tend to eat more than we can. But for buffets, as you were saying, I would recommend the same things I said at the beginning, like the dates, the soup, and basically putting in your plate a smaller quantity than you would. Okay, so not filling your plate with a lot of food and then feeling like I have to finish everything. Like really look around, take a walk, check what do they have available, and then choose the things that are most satisfying for you, are nourishing, that will give you nourishment and pleasure at the same time. So really choose and then start with a small quantity, okay? Because this is your way to trick your mind to actually take a break. But if your plate is full, you're not taking that break. So you start with a small quantity, you sit down, you eat calmly and slowly, and then you're forced to take the break.
Conscious eating.
Conscious eating. And uh-huh. and breaks, really, like, they're a game changer.
Mm.
Okay, so, and I know it's hard in Ramadan. This is why I'm saying force yourself by putting a small quantity in your plate. Because when it's done, you have to ask yourself, like, do I still want?
Yeah.
Or I'm full? And if I want, like, also start with putting a small quantity. If you want to add more, like, don't over flood your plate with, like, so much food.
I hope we're all taking notes here.
Yeah, yeah. I have in my head, like, what am I going to do when yeah. I'm going to have a iftar today? So as well, by the way, during Ramadan, a lot of people, and they think that they want to lose weight. But some lose weight, some gain weight.
True.
So for people who would want to lose weight, how can they do that? Because, like, you know, it's like iftar comes, and after that, like, you know, like, dessert comes, and then it's like suhoor comes. It's like there's no break.
Good question. It's a hard. It's not a hard one. No, I'll answer it. So I'll reintroduce myself. So I'm an intuitive eating dietitian. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard of this approach.
Yes, of course.
But this approach is weight neutral. So we prefer not focusing a lot on weight as a goal, but rather as a result. You know, so focusing on the health habits rather than just saying, I want to lose weight or I want to lose X amount of kilograms. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, weight is not a behavior. Weight is the result of our behavior. So what I would recommend in this case is to choose health behaviors that are realistic for you to stick with in the month of Ramadan. Wow. So it could be like, I want to add my vegetables, I want to have like my snack, I want it to be like a smoothie or fruits, or I want to exercise, I want to walk after iftar, I want to maybe walk before iftar. It depends on what works for every person, but focusing on the health behavior rather than the weight, because at the end of the day, Ramadan is a holy month and the goal of it is very spiritual. So when we focus too much on weight and maybe counting calories and maybe feeling guilty about what we ate, this is going to take away our mental and emotional space. And we want that to really enjoy the, like, spirituality of this month. So what I'd recommend is health behaviors, like, this is the way to go.
And then if you do those, you'd be proud of the fact that, okay, I've chosen my vegetables today, and that would make you feel good, even if you overate the veggies, like, that's no bad thing. You touched there on walking before or after iftar, and my question is there any recommended advice for when should we work out if we're fasting, and when is the optimum time? Is there advice on that?
I think this is also one of the very challenging things in Ramadan.
Yes.
Because before iftar, you'd be like maybe tired, maybe you don't have energy. And after iftar, if you overate, you're going to be like, I can't move. So like what I say is like doing maybe 5 minutes is better than nothing of movement. So starting with what you can rather than also following like the perfect guidelines. And different bodies are different. So some people will tell you, I have energy at 11 a.m. Mm. Other people will tell you, I have energy right before iftar, and this is when I love to work out. For me personally, I can't. I have to work out after iftar. So this is what works for my body. So it depends on, like, really reflecting on when do I have the most energy during my day when I'm fasting, and choosing that time to move, and any movement would be beneficial. I think any movement will give like benefit. It will help you with the blood circulation, with digestion, with the mood, and also with energy, because some people say, I don't have energy to move. But when you move, you're gonna have more energy.
Interesting.
So
based on the individual.
That is. That's so true.
Yeah.
As well, we know in Ramadan, the main, I would say, character in Ramadan is atayif, right? The sweets and all of these things. And they are so good in soya milk. But people who, let's say, are trying to cut out sugar, what would you say is like an alternative to sugar? Of course, because sweets, it's like, we can't just be like, hey, no, you know, like, there's like atayif, and you're like,
Okay, so when it comes to sweet, I know a lot of people crave it more in Ramadan. So the first question that I would advise them or invite them to ask themselves is that, is there a healthier alternative to the sweets that I'm craving? So let's say they're craving, I don't know, I need to find a good good example. let's say they're craving a type, a kalej.
Okay,
which is fried and very high in sugar.
Sounds delicious. It is
delicious and crunchy and all of the... So I would ask them, is there an alternative that would give you the same satisfaction that's maybe a bit more nourishing to your body? If the question is yes, then go for the more nourishing alternative. Like I know, for example... halawat al-jibn is actually lighter, okay, because it has a bit of cheese, it has like the ashta, which is also lighter. So in terms of its effect or its impact on your blood sugar, it's
less.
Could be, yeah, less than other sweets. So if this will give you satisfaction, then by all means, go for it. If like there's a... There are a lot of, you know, like health, like more nourishing alternatives on Instagram recipes that people can explore with, things that are with dates. So if these are giving them satisfaction, amazing. If not, don't deprive yourself. But start with, like we go through the same process of starting with a small quantity, really enjoying, really eating slowly, and... not feeling like, no, I can't have it, I'm not allowed to. Because at the end of the day, when you deprive yourself, you need a lot of willpower, right? And willpower around food, you can have it for a limited period of time. and it's always the case. So you're going to be like, okay, first day, I'm not going to eat. Second day, I'm not going to eat. Third day, I'm not going to eat. But every day you're looking at it and you're feeling like, no... I want more, I want more. Yeah. So it's going to create this buildup of deprivation and buildup of craving. And then there's a day where you're going to be either stressed or you didn't sleep well or fought with someone or there's something that triggered you and you're not just going to eat one. Mm-hmm. You're going to eat the whole thing.
That's true.
You know? So to avoid that, I recommend not letting yourself get to that deprivation and not building up this craving. If you really feel like having it and there's no healthier alternative that will satisfy you, then go for it.
Go for it. We're going to leave it on a sweet note. So we've actually gone way over time. Yes. And I feel like we have, we could sit here for days talking to you. So before you leave us, we have to leave it on a sweet note. And you did say go for it. And our producer, Massa, asked, what is it, the one sweet that you recommend?
The one sweet that I recommend.
That we can have. Glorious amounts of. No, for the day that, you know, you've had the fight. Yeah. You've had a long day at work. If I am going to treat myself, what am I treating myself with? Ah, and I also wanted to ask you what you thought about Vimto and Tang and all of the nice drinks. But our time has run out.
So for, I don't know, like it's a tough question because everyone loves something else. Like some people love things with chocolate. Some people love things with like Arabic sweets. So it depends on what they like. So I would say the sweet that you love the most.
And very quickly, Vimto, Tang, what are your thoughts?
They're very high in sugar. So... I wouldn't recommend having it every single day, but also like I wouldn't want people to feel like super deprived. So finding like an alternative to it that they can also have at iftar, like maybe flavored maybe sparkling water or something, or as I said, like the yogurt. So finding an alternative to it. But then if they want to have it, I wouldn't recommend it to be like an everyday thing because it's high in sugar and it's going to impact the blood sugar and it's going to increase the insulin and all of these things.
Okay.
So Yeah, wow.
If people want to find out more, how can they reach you?
They can reach me on Instagram. My account is actually my name, so it's Rola Gadar. Yeah.
I'm so sorry to cut that short. You've been very insightful.
There's one more place they can reach me. Oh. I have a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called Mish Diet. Mm-hmm. So not a diet.
Yeah.
And I share a lot of tips and insights. It's in Arabic, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Amazing. You learn Arabic.
I know.
For sure.
Teaching us everything we need.
I'll translate it to you.
It's going to take me time. Teaching us everything we need to know about intuitive eating. Thank you so much, Rola Gadar, for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All we have time for. We're back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.